Well, I love that old song, don't you? I sit there singing that. A lot of times we compare our cares and things that affect us to what somebody else is going on. So if what's going on in my life is not going as big as what's going on in Brother Ben's life, obviously what's going on in my life is not important. But boy, when God gave us that verse, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So don't measure it by what somebody else is going through. Measure it by how much he cares for you as an individual. I praise the Lord for that. Amen. Brother Mark Hill's going to come preach for us tonight. You pray for it.
All the time. I was just asking Brother Tim about some cough drops he gave me. I'm not sure which store he bought those at. Them things were strong. Amen. I appreciate God. I appreciate God's people. Well, I thank God that he's better to us than we are to him. I appreciate that testimony, Brother Moore. And I appreciate my family. God's been good to us. God's blessed us. God's given us things we don't deserve and kept us from things that we do deserve. And I just want to thank God and give him glory tonight. I'll never have to go to hell. Amen. I'll never have to. Hallelujah. Boy, I thank God for saving me. And open your Bibles, please, tonight. Proverbs chapter number 4. We'll spend a few minutes here and don't expect to be long tonight, but Proverbs chapter number 4. Well, I miss my preacher when he's not here. And thank God for our preacher. Thank God for our church. Amen. Verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When you come to church and there's a crowd this size, people look different. People's got different clothes on. Some people got new clothes on. Some people's got some people are smiling. Some people are not smiling. Some people are smiling, but it's not real. Some people are trying to smile through things, tough times that they're going through, and some people are trying to put on a front because they don't want you to know what's going on in their life. And we can't see past what's going on the outside. Some people are coming in and they're, I don't know what's going on in your life. The Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. No matter how you came into the house of God tonight, no matter you came in professing salvation, if you came in and you claim to be saved, all I can go on is what you tell me. All I can go on is what you say. But God Almighty knows tonight, beyond what we say, beyond how we act, God understands the issues in the heart. God knows whether we've been born again or not. God knows whether we're living like we say we're living or not. Amen. God sees the heart. The Bible says, behold, all things are open and naked unto him, to the eyes of whom we have to do. Amen. God sees our heart. And I want to speak just a few minutes tonight on the subject of the heart. And we'll be just a few minutes and we'll be done. Number one, I just want to say, you remember when Samuel came to the house of Jesse. And Israel, God was going to give Israel a second king. God was going to give Israel a king to rule them and to follow, and for them to follow God. And Jesse came in, Samuel came in, and Jesse lined up his sons, and he brought them in order from oldest to youngest, and he brought them before Samuel, And Samuel looked at Jesse's oldest son, and he was a big man. He was goodly to look upon. And Samuel said, "That's the one. That's got to be him." And God said, "That's not him." And the next one came by, and Samuel said, "That's got to be him. Look how he looks. He looks like he could be a king." And God said, "That's not the one." And Samuel went down through the line, and if I'm not mistaken, even Jesse brought in one of his grandsons to fill in the place of his youngest son that was out in the field. And Samuel went down through the line, and God said, "That's not him. That's not him. That's not him." And he got all the way down, and Samuel said to Jesse, "Do you have not any more sons?" And Jesse said, "I've got one, but he's just a shepherd. He's just a shepherd boy. And he's just out in the field keeping sheep." I mean, sure. And he said, "Go get him." And he brought him in, and there stands David, a young boy. And he's not much to look at. He doesn't look like a king. He's just a shepherd. But God said, "This is the one." Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. Amen. You know the heart is hidden. I can't see your heart just because you've got new clothes on. Just because you're wearing a tie or nice clothes doesn't mean that you are what you say you are, or I am what I say I am. Amen. But God knows. Amen. What's in you? You ever wonder how come God uses some people that it doesn't seem probable that God would use? It's because God looks on the heart, and God can see, amen, what's going on the inside. Let's look a little further in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9. Let's read it. Let me get there. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You say, whose heart is he talking about? Well, it's mine and it's yours. It's deceitful. Do you know your heart would lie to you? You ever hear people say, "Follow your heart"? Don't raise your youngins to follow their heart. Their heart will lie to them. Your heart will chase after worldly things. Your heart will chase after what feels right. Your heart will chase after what looks right. Your heart will chase after what seems right. Amen. But it'll lie to you, and it'll get you in trouble. Amen. Your heart will lead you astray. The Bible says it's beyond comprehension. My heart is more wicked than we could even know. The Bible said, who can know it? Amen. It's hidden. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Amen. And then our heart will lead us astray if you follow it. Yeah. In Proverbs 22:15, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I know it's hard to tell by looking at some of them. If you got a youngin', there's foolishness on the inside. They don't just do right naturally. Naturally, they'll do wrong. Naturally, they'll do what they want to do. Naturally, they just go where it seems right and do what it seems right and do. You have to teach them. You know, we're the same way. If you just give over to the desires of your heart, you'll just go. You have to teach. You have to train. Paul said, "I buffet my body daily." He said, "Know ye not that those that strive after the mastery," I can't remember the word, but he's talking about those that they train. It doesn't runners don't it doesn't come natural just to be a runner. You've got to train your body. You've got to. You can tell I haven't been doing any training. But you've got to teach. You've got to discipline yourself to do what's right. In fact, it's bad from the beginning, the first mention. The first time the heart's ever mentioned, said every, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, said every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. The heart's the source of all your failures. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21 through 23 said, From within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. You want to know how come people do the things that they do? Because it's what's in their heart. You want to know why? How come people commit murder? Because it's in their heart. You want to know why? How come people lie? Because it's what's in their heart. You don't want to know how come people are dishonest and they try to put on a show and say one thing and live another way? Because it's what's in our hearts. Amen. It's what's inside that the disciples were trying to tell Jesus about eating with hands that hadn't been washed. And Jesus said, that's not what defiles a man. But what defiles a man is not what goes in, but it's what comes out. Amen. It's what's in our hearts that's wicked. It's what's on the inside that's wicked. It's what's on the inside that has to be dealt with. A whole lot of people, you can fool a whole lot of people, but you can't fool God about what's in your heart. Amen. There's places you can go when nobody knows you. There's places, there's places you can go where nobody knows you and you think nobody knows what's going on. But I got news for you. God sees you when nobody else sees you. God sees which websites you're on. God sees who you're texting and what you're texting. God sees who you're talking to. God sees where you've been. God sees everything that you do. Amen. There's nothing hid from God Almighty. God sees your heart. God sees my heart. There's no fooling God. Amen. We might fool the preacher. We might fool one another. You may can smile pretty, but there's never been a thing, amen, that you've got that you've slid past God. He knows all about it. Amen. By now, you're glad that I can't see your heart, and I'm glad you can't see mine. There's things that you say, but we're church. We're here at church. Yeah, I know. But all the trouble that you go through, all the trouble that comes, it's in your heart. Yeah, we struggle with ourselves. I mentioned last time we preached a little, we struggle with ourselves, I believe, more than we struggle with anything else. There's enough sin in me to get the job done. There's enough sin in you to get the job done. Hey, you don't, let's move on. It's the well. I know that. It's the well from which the mouth draws its words. You want to know what you get out of a well when you draw it up? Whatever's in there. You want to know, it just slipped. Oh, it might have slipped out all right, but it was in there. Oh me, and amen, and woe is me. The Bible says, anyway, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's sometimes the harbor for offenses. There's no telling what people carry around in their hearts. And it weighs them down and it's heavy. And sometimes I carry things around in my heart, weighs me down. Sometimes it's hard to forgive people when they've offended you. Sometimes it's hard to deal with things. It's hard to speak to people when they've offended you. It's hard to resolve some situations. And we carry these. A good maintenance man to fix that squeak in the floor. It's hard to, it weighs you down. It's the place where you carry all your burdens. You know what else it can be? It's also the place where you hide your sin. Did you know, and I know you know, but David said, if I regard iniquity, the Lord will not hear me. If you hold it up and you bottle up sin and you don't let go of it and you won't confess it, I'm not talking about, I mean, if you're trying to serve God but hold on to your sin, did you know God don't even listen to our prayers? This is a little bit off the subject, but did you know when you're holding on to sin, you're not the only one that's suffering for it? Well, I was thinking about something earlier today, and I really was going back and forth between two messages, and I thought about preaching on the effects of sin in the life of the believer. And I believe we could use, I need that. And you remember in the book of Joshua, when Achan went and stole a garment, a little bit of silver and a little bit of gold, and he hid it. And then they were to fight a battle against a small people called Ai. And they told Joshua, don't even send all of the army, just send a little bit. And when you get up there, you know what happened, right? They got whipped. And they ran back. And Joshua rent his clothes and was on his face before God. And God said, get up. They're sin. And to wind it all up, it ended up, and I was just reading. Did you know it didn't just mention Achan? But it mentioned his whole lineage. You know, when you got sin, it don't only affect you, but it affects your family. And it may not only mar your life, but it'll mar the lives of those around you, those that you're associated with, those that you're hooked up with, those that you're related to. Achan's family didn't take part in that sin. His father didn't take part in that sin, but his name was mentioned in the story where Achan sinned. Well, I don't want my name. I don't want to bring anybody else in on something that I've done. But you know what happened at the end of the story? Achan wasn't the only one that got punished. They got Achan, they got his wife, and they got his children, and they brought him before the children of Israel. And you know what they did? They stoned him. Then they piled a big heaped stones up on them as a memorial. Can you imagine your youngins having to suffer? I don't even want to think the thoughts that I wouldn't get right with God and God chastised my children. A lot of times the reason we go through with things is because we're not that concerned about chastisement in our own life. Did you realize that your life is not the only one affected when you're living in sin? But I don't want my kids to suffer chastisement, amen, because daddy won't get right. Because daddy's doing things in secret. Because daddy's doing things when he's out of town. Because daddy, whatever. You understand? I don't want my children to go through hardships because I won't serve God. But it's possible. Here's some conditions of the heart. David said in Psalm 55:4, my heart is sore pained within me. There's times when you just got a heartache. It just hurts. Whatever you're going through, it hurts. Something takes place in your life and it hurts. Somebody, it just plain hurts. There's times, David said in Psalm 61:2, when my heart is overwhelmed. There's times when it seems that what you're going through is overwhelming. And you know what the word overwhelming means? To crush beneath something weighty or heavy. And it seems to be more than you can handle. But I like the rest of that verse. Said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. It's all in Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, I am lowly in heart. These are some conditions that your heart gets in. In Acts 2 verse 37, the Bible said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, what shall we do? What's that? That's conviction. That's when conviction sets in on your heart. That's the best known description of conviction I know of, is when they were preaching, it said it stuck them or it pricked them in the heart, and they said, what shall we do? Amen. God gets a hold of your heart. It gets convicted sometimes. Back to our verse, it said, keep thy heart. The word keep means to guard and protect to maintain, to blockade. It's almost as if you're responsible for your household. When we first got married, I used to just go get in the bed, and my wife would say, "Hey, did you lock the doors?" And I'd get, and after about 6 years, I finally realized I might as well lock the doors before I got into bed. But you know, I'm responsible for taking care of that house, for making sure. Now, I can't do anything. I see them back there fighting already. I can't do anything to prevent an attack. I can't do anything to prevent someone trying to come in, but I can make sure it's difficult if they do. I can fulfill my responsibility to make sure that my family's living in as safe a place as possible and all intruders as much as possible cannot get in. That's the same thing we're supposed to be doing with our heart. You're supposed to be locking the door and not letting any unwanted guest in. You ever known a robber to clean up after himself when he came in? You ever known somebody to come in, to break into a house and go in there and do the dishes while they're... No, when they leave, it's a mess. And you let things into your heart that ought not be there. When it's all said and done, it'll be tore out of whack. It'll be all messed up. TV shows, oh my, magazines, oh my, books. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not saying you go throw them all away, but you better be careful which ones you watch and which ones you read. You let things in, get in there, and before you know it, your way of thinking will be all tore up. Have you thinking? Amen. We're to keep it or to guard it. This word also means to tend. You know, when somebody's got a herd of cows or cat. Well, I ain't no farmer. Cattle, cows, whatever. Sheep. The word can also be used for that, to keep them or to tend to them, to protect them. You know what you got to do for animals when they belong to you? You've got to make sure they're in the right kind of environment to grow. You've got to make sure that they've got the... I remember when we lived in Ireland, there were sheep farms everywhere. But right up the road from where we lived, there was this little poorly fenced-in field, and it was growing up with trash. It was, I mean, just weeds and briars, and there was trash all in the field. And my first thought when I saw them put those sheep in there, they don't care much for their sheep. Because I've seen a whole lot of other sheep farms, bunch of sheep inside the field. And they were taken a whole lot better care of than that. It's our responsibility to make sure that we put ourselves in environments to where we can grow spiritually, to where we can absorb the right things. You know what? If you feed an animal junk and trash, it's not going to be as healthy as if you feed it good things. And you're not, if you constantly feeding your heart junk and trash and things that ought not go in there, you're not going to be spiritually healthy like if you constantly are feeding it truth and good things, amen, and preaching and good singing and good fellowship, and amen, it makes a difference. You have to, it's your responsibility. And lastly, it said to keep it or to tend to it, protect it with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. The way that you, your heart, by now we know our heart is not something that needs to guide us, but our heart is something that needs to be disciplined and guided. Did you know you'll love whatever you allow yourself to love? That's right. You don't just love, you're not supposed to just love whatever feels right. God said, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. That means you can choose what you love and what you don't love. That means you can guide your heart and set the affections of your heart on whatever you want to set the affections of your heart on. And so our heart needs to be guided. Our heart needs to be It needs to be disciplined. It needs to be, and it's to be done with all diligence. Amen. Because the way that you take care of the inward man, amen, it's going to determine what type of fruit your life produces. And notice it didn't say keep your wife's heart or keep your husband's heart or keep your children. I can't keep nobody's heart but mine. And you can't blame anybody else if your heart's not been kept in the shape that it's supposed to be kept in but yourself. Amen. No, I can't blame if I get all out of sideways with God and my love for the Lord gets cold and my heart gets calloused and I get all filled up with junk. I can't blame my wife. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Brother Tim, come ahead. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Appreciate you listening well tonight. If the Lord's touched your heart, I appreciate God being so good to us tonight. Amen. I appreciate God. God's touched your heart. It's a good time to come talk to Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, for being so good to us, Lord, giving us grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you for our church. Thank you, Lord, for our preacher. Pray you'd please touch him tonight. God, just give him grace. And, Lord, hug him up, Lord, and love on him, encourage him. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you so much. You're dismissed.